Welcome to this week's message from Cross Life Church. I'm Andrew Portnoy. Are you a happy person? How happy are you? Cross Life Church is on a mission to create more happiness. After all, the number of people reporting feelings of anxiety and depression is skyrocketing. We need more happiness. And get this, according to the 2021 World Happiness Report, the top seven happiest countries are, drumroll please, Finland, Denmark, Switzerland, Iceland, Netherlands, Norway, and Sweden. Really? Doesn't unending wintry weather make people grumpy? Apparently not. Guess where the United States ranked in the report? 19th, well behind Iceland and Canada and Israel. So what really makes people happy? Welcome to our new series called Be Happy. In this series, you will discover the four steps to happiness and God's promises about a truly happy life. Everyone can be happy. It's closer than you think. We kick off our new series with this week's message, I Know You'll Be Happy. Here's Pastor Darren.
How happy are you? Let me give you a scale of 1 to 10, all right? And I want you to mentally and just in your own head come up with a number. 1 is terribly miserable, and 10 is totally paradise. So how happy are you on a scale of 1 to 10? There's some scientific research about this, and you're likely to be happier if any of the following are true for you, according to scientists. So, for instance, if you engage in meaningful relationships during the day, one study says that people who spend 5 to 6 hours each day with family or friends are 12 times as likely to report feeling joyful rather than stressed or anxious. Secondly, you're more likely to be happy if you actually are giving your rating, your score, on a weekend, like we're doing now. Reasons are obvious. You're not working. You can sleep in. I think the biggest reason to be happy on a weekend is that you can be in church. All right, reason number 3. If someone close to you ranks high in happiness, your chance of getting happier increases, the study said, by 25%. So this could be spouse, family, next-door neighbor, coworker, someone very close to you who ranks very high in happiness, and it rubs off. 4th, scientists say $75,000 is the magic number of an annual salary. Very interesting study is done by Princeton, and they showed that below $75,000 of annual salary, more people had more problems, more divorces, more illness, more hardships. Once they hit that $75,000 a year mark for salary, there's a big shift. And then interestingly, anything more than $75,000 does not make you proportionately happier. So that's, according to science, that $75,000 a year mark is really the magic number for happiness. And then finally, scientists have determined that your happiness level is a result of complex interaction of behaviors, circumstances, and DNA. So, the study says while each person is naturally wired for a certain range of happiness, you know, there's people who, on StrengthsFinder scale that rate strengths, there's a strength called positivity. You know, I know people who have that strength. You know, there's people who are by nature very positive and happy, okay? So that there's a nature part. You're wired for a certain range of happiness. And nobody can totally control their own circumstances. However, scientists say this, they calculate that 40% of your happiness is up to you, 40%. So a big chunk of how you feel is determined by how you spend your time, what thoughts you allow to linger in your head, and that can determine your mood in different circumstances, how you feel. So welcome to our new series called Be Happy. It's a series about happiness and how we are happy, how happy you can be, and what really God believes about happiness. So we're going to get real about happiness and about a lack of happiness. We're going to recognize that people who are reporting higher levels of depression and anxiety are skyrocketing in our society. We're going to realize something. We're going to realize that God has his ways of happiness, and the world does too, and they kind of intermingle a little bit. And we're going to do more than just respond with positive thoughts or the most popular emoji of all time. Do you know what it is? It's called face with tears of joy. There it is. And finally, we're going to do more than just react in those ways. We are going to rejoice. And we're going to rejoice in Jesus as the biggest factor when it comes to our happiness. That's it. Jesus is simply the biggest factor. We're going to rejoice in him. Jesus wants us to be happy. Jesus can make us happy. Jesus promises that nothing in this life has the power to make us miserable. And so let me put it this way. 100% of your happiness is up to Jesus. Paul believed this. Paul, I'm talking about this missionary in the first century. Paul was a Christian and a missionary in the first century. Paul wrote almost half of the books in the New Testament of the Bible. Paul preached publicly. Paul taught privately. Paul penned letters to groups of Christians in cities like Rome and Corinth and Philippi. But life wasn't easy for Paul. Paul experienced poverty. Paul had poor travel conditions, very poor travel conditions, and Paul was persecuted. He was opposed by enemies, and he was persecuted and imprisoned. When Paul writes this letter to the group of Christians in Philippi, the book of the Bible we know as Philippians, Paul is in prison. And yet, that does not impact Paul's happiness in the least, because 100% of Paul's happiness is up to Jesus. So look at this book of Philippians. It has four chapters. And in the four chapters of this book of Philippians, Paul mentions the word joy 16 times. And he makes reference to Jesus by name 51 times. So for the next 7 weeks, we will study the book of Philippians section by section and see how our happiness is much more related to Jesus than anything else in the world. Because Jesus is both your forgiving, friendly Savior and your living Lord who rules over all things, you have more reason to be happy than anyone who meets all of those scientific criteria. The question is, do you believe in Jesus and his promises? See, like Paul, Jesus was a prisoner too. And like Paul, Jesus didn't let it get to him. Jesus was arrested, he was betrayed, he was put on trial and crucified. Jesus died. And how is Jesus pictured? You know, you see him in movies and pictures, you picture in your head, you relate to Jesus. We don't picture Jesus as angry, grumpy, complaining Jesus. We picture Jesus as fulfilled, satisfied, content, even happy. See, Jesus didn't let it get to him, didn't let suffering get to him. Jesus is our happy Savior. Jesus is very glad. He's glad for you, glad to be your Savior. And so you can believe in him like Paul did. And Paul tells us three things in the opening verses of this letter. I'm going to read those verses now and look for three things that Paul believes and that we can believe too when it comes to happiness. So verses 3-6 in Philippians 1, Paul writes this: I thank my God every time I remember you. In all of my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Here are the three things. Paul always prayed to Jesus with thanks. Paul saw other Christians as partners who love and are loved by Jesus. And Paul was confident that Jesus is always working on each believer to make progress in their faith. We're going to break each of those apart now and cover each of those three. So first of all, pray to Jesus with thanks and you will be happier. Listen to this. You simply cannot be grateful and then also grumble at the same time. You just can't. And you can't pray and grumble at the same time either. So Paul explains and encourages in chapter 4. Well, I'll preach on this later, but I have to get to this verse now. I have to tell you this. Paul writes, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." So let this sink in now. Okay? If it's important enough to grumble about, it's important enough to pray about. If you can tell me one thing that you want to grumble about, I can give you two things that you can be grateful for. Paul writes, in every situation, we can choose to grumble or to pray. We can choose to grumble or to give thanks. And grumbling, my friends, grumbling is self-centered and sinful. It just is. Grumbling, I covered this in our confession earlier in the service today. Grumbling, we do it because it gives us this feeling of control. Like we grumble about the weather. I cannot control the weather, but I can grumble about it. And if I'm grumbling about it, it gives me this sense of control, and I just want it in my hands. I want to control it, and so I grumble about it. I think I can control people by grumbling about them. And when it's in my hands, it's not in God's hands, and there's the sin. I'm seeing myself as replacing God and being in charge and being Lord when I grumble. And so grumbling robs us of happiness. Jesus never grumbled. He was betrayed. He was crucified. And Jesus never grumbled. And Jesus, to this day, sinner, does not grumble about you and your sins. Because he died for your sins as the payment for them. And because he lives for you and he loves you in mercy, Jesus doesn't grumble about you. Jesus, in his grace, he is glad for you. So, pray with thanks rather than grumbling, and you'll be happier. All right, secondly, how to be happier. See other Christians as partners who love and are loved by Jesus, and you'll be happier. Studies show the importance of relationships, of friendships. And so Paul says to his Christian friends, "I have you in my heart. I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you. All of you share in God's grace with me." So, common interests, like guns or horses or quilting or running, those are things that bond people tightly together in groups. And there's an even stronger bond with Christians because it's more than a common interest. Well, what do we have in common as Christians? What we have in common is Jesus is interested in us. Jesus has affection for us. Paul writes, we share in God's grace. One of my devotions this week was very well written, and it was about this. It was about Christians and the bond that we have together. And the devotion writer said this. She said, when she's at the gym and she's on the treadmill, she looks across the gym and she sees people who are lifting weights across the gym. And there's usually little groups together, two or three or four people. And she said she notices that they all kind of do their own thing as a group. But then when one of them, they start putting on more weight and more weight and trying to lift heavier weights and heavier weights. And as they do that, the person lifting the weight has to struggle more and maybe might even get caught under that weight. And when that happens, she said, the group kind of surrounds that person and they help and they spot and they'll lift that weight up so that that person doesn't get stuck. And that's what Christians do. See, they can lift that weight up because they've been under that weight too. And they know what it's like to get stuck. So as Christians, under God's grace, we know what God's grace is for us. We know what God's saving love is. And we know that we share that with others. And that's a very, very strong bond. And so see other Christians as partners who love Jesus and his grace and who are loved by Jesus and his grace, and you'll be happier. Okay, Paul's third reason why he's so happy is this, that you can be confident that Jesus is always working on you to make progress in your faith, and you'll be happier. Paul writes this in Philippians 1, verse 9. He says, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. Oh, there's so much more for us to know, to understand, and Paul believes that we will. Why? Remember, he opened his letter this way. Confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Hey, Jesus is always working on you. In good times and bad, in easy times and difficult, at church, at home, at work, Jesus is always working on you. And the Bible here, in Paul's words, the Bible calls that his good work in you. What Jesus does in you and your life is considered good. And Jesus is doing it now, and he won't stop doing it, and he'll continue it all the way until the end, until the last day of this world, all the way until you die, and beyond that, into heavenly existence. Jesus will not stop working for you, working on you, and working in you as your Savior. Those are the three reasons that Paul is happy. He prays with thanks to Jesus. He sees other Christians as partners who love and are loved by Jesus. And he sees the progress that every one of us believers makes when Jesus is doing his good work in us. So I did some research, and I read this past week the 2021 World Happiness Report. And it tells us the top 20, I think it is, it's a list of 20 happiest countries in the world. Let me tell you the top 7 happiest countries. Here they are: Finland, Denmark, Switzerland, Iceland, Netherlands, Norway, and Sweden. Really? Does, like, unending wintry weather, doesn't that make people grumpy? Apparently not, according to this list. You know where the United States lines up in that list? I gave you the top 7. The United States is 19th. We're behind Iceland. We're behind Israel. We're behind Canada when it comes to the happiest places to live. What does that tell us? It tells us that happiness is not connected to surroundings. It's not connected to circumstances. It's not connected to whether you're suffering or not. It's not connected to weather, to temperature, cold or hot. It's not connected to your paycheck. It's not connected to prison. It confirms what God tells us, that the biggest factor when it comes to happiness is Jesus. And here's what Paul writes about that in verse 11. He promises that believers are filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Picture a bunch of fruit. Fruit is colorful, fresh, nutritious. Fruit is a happy thing. Righteousness, that means being right with God, being in a good place with God. You're happy with God, God's happy with you, all because of Jesus Christ. And what's the result? God is happy. He receives glory and praise, it says here. And we're happy too. We're filled with Jesus. Ah, that Greek word filled there, it means bubbling up, overflowing. So I'm picturing this bottle of root beer. And it's not a bottle of root beer that's been in the closet for years and that maybe has been slightly opened. And when you pop the cap off, it's flat and non-fizzy, and it's just like syrup. No, this is a bottle of root beer when you open it up or you open the can, it goes, and then there's this fizzing noise. And then if you pour it over a glass of ice, it starts foaming and bubbling, and oh no, it goes over the rim of the glass. You know, that's the idea of being filled with Jesus here. And man, does that overflowing, bubbling, foaming glass of root beer on ice, it's just, you're eager to drink it. It looks refreshing. It's going to cool you off. That's everything that there is to have joy and happiness in Jesus. This eager anticipation of what Jesus does in our lives. We're overflowing. We're bubbly. We're joyful. Jesus is the biggest factor when it comes to your happiness. Believe in him and his promises. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, you are the source of joy Thank you for this letter that Paul wrote to the Philippians and for our study of it for the next 7 weeks. Lord, work in our hearts, work in our minds, and work in our feelings and our emotions. Remind us, Lord, of the promises that you give to us, the promises that are the source of our unending joy, that just doesn't depend on circumstances, on surroundings, or even it can't be robbed and taken away by suffering, even by the devil himself or death. Thank you, Jesus, for this joy in our lives. Help us to believe it and to share it. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Did you know that fill-in message notes are now available for online viewers tuning into our Sunday morning online worship broadcast? Go to crosslifepf.org, click on the Messages tab and find the series and message for that Sunday, then click on Bulletin for a printable version of the message notes to follow along and review and share later. That's all for now. I'm Andrew Portnoy, and from all of us here at CrossLife, thank you for tuning in. And see you next week.